Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Can you successfully learn in your sleep? Let's consult the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. This is something out of Brave New World. Didn't the oppressive government use sleep learning, or I think they called it hypnopedia training, to plant ideas in people's heads as they slept?
Yeah, that's true, Dave. The notion of being able to learn while you sleep or to be able to influence people's thoughts while you sleep is actually hundreds and hundreds of years old. But it really kind of gained popularity as even just a concept, like you said, with Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And actually, there have been intermittent scientific experiments of various degrees of rigor over the past century, trying to see if it actually works. The paper that just came out, it was the cover article of Scientific American, where two scientists who have spent their careers studying this have developed something they call targeted memory reactivation. And it's important to know the different phases of sleep. We have being awake, and then we have three other different periods of sleep. We have non-rapid eye movement sleep, which is really when we're not, very light sleeping. Then we have something called slow wave sleep. And then we have something called rapid eye movement sleep, is when the majority of dreaming occurs. Now, forever, it was thought that nothing happened during slow wave sleep, but these scientists found that actually slow wave sleep was one of the most important periods of time. And they noted that there were really dramatic differences between the different sleep phases, and that the slow waves of deep sleep really dominate the early part of the night. And during slow wave sleep, some memories spontaneously reactivate. So whatever happened during the day, whether it was your studying or your events during the day, that you would have this slow wave sleep. And it was during this period of time that that information would come back into your brain and it would then be stored. So if they could add another sense, stimulation of another sense during the period of time of slow wave sleep, that they could actually enhance learning. And so these researchers used sound to do it, whereas the previous researchers have used smell to do it, but actually it's worked with both.
It links to other sensations. How do they go about doing that?
So they did a variety of studies where, for example, the first thing they did is they looked at spatial memory, so where things are. And so the first thing they did was they taught people the locations of 50 different objects. Mm-hmm. And for example, they might learn to place a cat at one designated spot on a computer screen and a tea kettle on another place on the computer screen. And at the time that they placed it, they would hear a corresponding sound. So for example, they'd hear a meow for a cat or a whistle for the tea kettle and so on. And so after this learning phase, the participants then took a nap in the laboratory. And during that period of time, they monitored their brain waves, their electroencephalogram, their EEG. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make sure that the individuals were actually asleep. And then when they detected the period of time I just mentioned, the slow wave sleep, they would play the meow or they would play the whistle and the other sounds that were associated with whatever objects they were teaching them. And what they found is on awakening that people remembered the locations when they were cued during sleep better than places that had not been flagged during the experiment. So whether it's sounds or whether it's odors that served as the cues in these experiments, apparently they triggered the reactivation of spatial memories. And so they reduced the ability to forget or increased the learning.
So that makes sense to me because if you're trying to memorize lines, for example, the human brain has a lot of stuff in stored there, but it takes a stimulus to bring it out. So most actors I know will stand in the wings and not even know what they're going to say next, but they're confident they'll say the right thing because they've rehearsed and they know that when that cue comes up, it'll trigger that memory. And isn't that the way the ancient Romans used to memorize speeches? They would read a speech as they walked around the house, or they would count fingers on their hands to signify phrases and would use that to memorize. That's why you have the phrase, on the one hand, on the other hand, because they would memorize speeches that way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think people have always used other tricks like that to help them remember things, but this is actually using them and then enhancing the use of those tricks while they're sleeping. If you can do this, and if we are able to learn or enhance our learning during sleep, well, to what degree can it be used in terms of treating people in other settings? So, for example, could it help people reduce addictions? Or could it speed people's recovery from illness? One interesting study that's taking place at Northwestern University with the neurology department there is that they're testing a novel rehabilitation procedure for recovering arm movement abilities after having a stroke. So in this case, cue sounds are incorporated as part of the therapy and then are replayed during sleep to try and accelerate relearning of the lost movements from the stroke.
So you do your therapy while a certain sound is playing, or maybe even music, and then while you're sleeping, they play the music, and so the memory of the therapy comes back?
Yeah, Dave, that's exactly right.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.